Welcome to Beyond the Chutes, as presented by Parasite Systems. My name is Doug Simcox, and I'm here at Mountain Cove Cowboy Reunion. It is the 10th anniversary of the Marlon Harris Cowboy Reunion here, and what a night we have had, what a day we have had. We're here in the show barn, and I had the privilege of meeting our guest here last night. She came in and man, set the world on fire, brought her guitar and picked and sang, and saw her again this morning in church, and I said, man, we got to get Miss Nikki McLeod on here. And Nikki, welcome to Beyond the Chutes.
Thank you.
It is so cool to have you here. Now, I got to admit, the first time I've had a musician on here, you know, it's usually cowboys and cowgirls, and from our conversation today, you're a cowgirl.
I think I qualify.
I think you do. I think you do. And you you came North Dakota.
Yes, sir. Grew up on a cow-calf operation up in North Dakota.
Tell us a little bit about that operation up there.
Yeah, we run, at the time we ran about 350 mama cows, and then we also had a 1,000 head feedlot, so we'd calve them out and we'd take them all the way up to finish weight, and then we also did some custom AIing for folks, so
okay.
We had cattle in every stage.
You had cattle in every stage, and where'd you go to school?
I started out at Iowa State, finished out at North Dakota State,
okay.
So I definitely had a Midwest trend there.
And I don't know if I told you this, Nikki, but I graduated from University of Northern Iowa.
I mean, we all have our faults.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So I don't know if you know this. There's 3 land-grant colleges in the state of Iowa. Did you know that?
I did not.
Uh-huh. And Iowa State is one down there in Ames. And then, of course, there's Iowa. Right,
yeah.
In Iowa City. Oh, the Iowa Hawkeyes. No, you're a Cyclones fan.
I mean, more so than the Hawkeyes,
okay.
At least.
And then, of course, we had the Panthers up there. University. Oh, wow. We're going to get along just fine. I can feel this rolling. So you grow up in North Dakota. You go to Iowa State to college. You're there for a couple years, and then you decide what?
Well, I'm not that old, but my life's taken a lot of turns. When I was at Iowa State, I was on scholarship with the Marine Corps.
The U.S. Marines.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Semper Fi and all that.
And so you're headed towards, you're going to be an officer.
Yep. And I had always planned to be a lifer, made no other plans, but I was medically discharged before I commissioned.
Oh.
And so I went back to North Dakota State. I jumped back into agriculture because that's what I knew. But I didn't have a plan.
Okay.
And I had always written songs because I grew up in a town of 16 people. There
16.
Wasn't a lot to do.
16 people.
16, yeah. They had to change the sign when I left.
now there's 15.
Well, I think they're 14 now.
Oh, it's, no. Oh, no. They're downward trend there. Downward
yes,
trend.
Sir.
So you got into writing music pretty young?
I did. I wrote my first song when I was 11. I tried to hide that song for years, but I finally got to where I'll admit to it now. Because before I got my guitar, I wrote cowboy poetry.
Oh, you
did? I was the coolest kid in town,
okay.
I swear.
And how old would you have been when you was writing cowboy poetry?
I mean, I started young.
like 8, 9, 10?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely, definitely. By then.
You got a poem you can share with us?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I'd have to rob my mom's scrapbook for that one.
Okay.
But when I turned 11, I got my first guitar, and so naturally, my first song was a cowboy song, and I'll share that one with you.
Okay.
My folks would not let me live this one down, but it comes with the disclaimer.
Yeah.
I was an 11-year-old with an overactive imagination.
Okay, now to be completely transparent here, you wrote this song.
I wrote this song, yes.
Okay.
But I made it up. All right.
That's all right. Fair.
Called Cowboy Inheritance. Well, my uncle died just last week, but I never knew him well. He never gave me 2 dang words, but he left me in his will. Now word had said that he was rich, and I couldn't wait to go drive and see what he left me, so I took off down the road. And now I had never been around nobody that's deceased, and the thoughts of ghosts and holy hosts had put a fright in me. took my hat in hand, saw the old man, and then I said so long. I went and saw the deed that prompted me to go and write this song. I got a old truck that doesn't run, and the floorboards are all gone. I got his old trailer house, and I got his old barn. I got a cow that's got a broken horn, and I got his old dog. I got a cowboy inheritance, and Lord, I got it all. Well, I milked the cow, 'cause I knew how, and I moved into the trailer. I was doing fine, had peace of mind, until I met this feller with a suit and tie, who's asking why I hadn't paid him yet. Well, that old man had had a plan, and he stuck me with his debt. I got a old truck that doesn't run, and the floorboards are all gone. I got his old trailer house, and I got his old barn. I got a cow that's got a broken horn, and I got his old dog. I got a cowboy inheritance, and Lord, I got it all. I had a old truck that never run, but I sold it for the parts. Sold the trailer house to some poor fool who didn't have the smarts. I sold the cow that had the broken horn, but I kept the old dog. I had a cowboy inheritance, and I almost lost it all. I had a cowboy inheritance, and I almost lost it all.
Oh my, I love that, I love that. Nice. 11 years old.
I really needed some friends.
Oh, my goodness. And the melody and everything right along with it. You was picking, doing it all.
Yeah. My mama played guitar, so I grew up hearing her play.
Okay.
And she taught me the chords to Amazing Grace and said, you got it from here. And, and so even now when we go home, it's always a big family jam.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. What a wonderful song. And active imagination, yeah, at 11 yeah. years old, pull all these pieces, parts together. That's pretty darn cool. So back to North Dakota State you go.
Yes, sir.
And finish your college up there?
Yep. Yeah, I just got a general agricultural degree.
Okay.
So that I could still finish in 4 years.
Okay.
And I figured I didn't have anything else going. I might as well see if I could write some songs with people.
Okay.
So I found a job running a cow-calf operation in Decatur, Alabama.
Okay. Gave you lots of time to do songwriting, I imagine.
Yeah, I wrote two that whole first year. And I figured if I was going to do nothing but look at cattle, I could do that with my family.
Yeah,
So I ended up switching and eventually went to music full-time. And did that right up until COVID put the brakes pretty hard on that.
And you're in Nashville at this point.
Close. I ended up getting within an hour of Nashville.
Okay.
I'm near Pulaski, Tennessee.
So how do you get hooked up with those songwriters and people that are interested in doing music?
It's mostly just showing up and meeting people and I wrote with some folks, but the older I got, the more I liked Western music, and there's not a ton of that in Nashville. And so I actually ended up kind of getting away from writing with folks and getting back to my cowboy roots and writing alone.
And for our listeners, who would you define as Western artists?
Like modern ones?
Yeah, or even back in the day.
I mean, Marty Robbins is you know, the king.
Okay.
But there's a huge Western artist movement going on. Cor Blund out of Canada is a gem. I've been able to play with him at a couple shows, and amazing. Coulter Wall, same story. There is a ton of really good Western music that's still being made. So I count myself very lucky to be able to do the same.
You bet. So we were talking this morning, and before you go, the faith of a farmer. Okay, at some point, not now.
Yeah.
Okay, or whenever you think right. But you released an album.
I did.
And when did that come out? And what's the name of it?
So I put my first album out in, I think it was 2017. Wow, time flies.
It does.
And that album, I like to say that my albums have a progression.
Okay.
The first one is when I was still kind of flirting with the idea of mainstream country music. It was as close to that as I could get.
Okay.
But it's pretty honky-tonk. It's pretty driven. Had some incredible A-list Nashville musicians on it that just brought it to life. But it's a little rowdy.
Okay.
And that's Some Kind of Reckless.
Okay.
And so for my second album, which is a six-song EP,
I don't want to move to that one yet.
Oh, not
okay.
yet.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Yeah.
My show, I can do what I want, okay? No, Some Kind of Reckless, is that the name of the album?
That's the name of the album.
And where could a person find this album?
I'm on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little bit all over.
Okay, pick the one that you would say, if you're going to listen to a song on Some Kind of Reckless, that album, what would it be?
I mean, it depends on what mood you're in.
Well, what mood are you in right now?
So my very favorite on the album is a song called Grandpa. And it's the only song on that album that I wrote from a personal standpoint. The rest of the time I was writing about other people.
Okay.
Because it's a lot easier if you skip the drama and just write about other people's problems.
Okay.
So I mostly did that. But it was actually when I was 14. My grandpa had come over, and they were so supportive. I can say this because I live in the South now. Bless their hearts. They listened to some awful teenage angsty music. And they'd hear whatever awful song I wrote, and that was so good. But yeah, I was 14, and Grandpa had heard the latest attempt at a heartbreak song, and on his way out the door, he said, "Well, when are you going to write me a song?"
Oh, wow.
And I love a challenge.
Okay.
They live 7 miles away from my folks. He hit his driveway, and I called him. I said, "Grandpa, turn around. Your song's done."
Your song's done.
And I didn't tell him that I was putting it on the album, but it was actually the very first thing I ever recorded when I got into the studio in Nashville.
Oh, that's nice. Nice.
And so when the albums were done, I drove back up to North Dakota, and I knocked on his door, and I said, "Grandpa, track number 8. I'm the best grandkid." And he didn't tell me I was wrong.
Yeah.
So this is Grandpa. I asked Grandpa what you're doing as I followed close behind. Even though I got in the way, you never seemed to mind. You seemed as strong as Hercules. My 6-year-old eyes, you could do the impossible, and to be there all the time. And you'd say, "Girl, let us see what we can find. Let's see how high you're gonna fly. Just keep on trying. Crying, try something ending in amen, amen." I grew up so fast it seemed a blur, but you were there by my side. You always had a gentle word, and you were helping all the time. You showed me there were bigger things than just my own life. Life we lived was ever blessed, and faith was a small price. And you'd say, "Girl, let us see what we can find. Let's see how high you're gonna fly. Just keep on trying, you'll get there in the end. And if you're crying, try something ending in amen, amen." And I know one day I'll move away. Just imagine what you'll have to say. You'll say, "Girl, let us see what you can find. Let's see how high you're gonna fly. Just keep on trying, you'll get there in the end. And if you're crying, try something ending in amen, amen." Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
What did Grandpa say?
Oh, he bawls like a baby every time.
Oh, what a beautiful song.
Thank you. Excellent.
For our listeners, I don't know if many of them know about going into a studio.
Yeah.
So you go into a studio, you're going to record your first album. How many songs on that first album?
The first album, I did 12 songs.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of work.
Oh, it was a lifetime kind of project, but I'm too stubborn to quit, so I'm going to do another one.
So what was it like in the studio for the first time?
Oh, it was magic.
It was.
The first step is to find a producer, and that's kind of like finding a date. You talk to a lot of them, you got to find the one that just meshes right, that you know, can really capture the essence of what you're trying to create, because all the producer hears is me doing this.
Yeah.
But they have to be able to hear all the other instruments that'll tie together and pick the right players that are going to do it. And I was very blessed. I worked with a guy. When he produces, his name is Tone Deaf, which he doesn't deserve, because he's incredible. And he's worked with some pretty high name artists, and man, he got all A-list musicians. I got to work with some of the people that you're hearing on the radio most of the time. Like, they're incredible, and went in, and I mean they would never hear the song before, and I'd play it for them once, and then, all right, let's record it, and all of a sudden the drums are just exactly what you thought they'd
be. Crazy?
And
it
was magic.
Okay. So you release this album, and are you touring? Are you out doing gigs at this point?
I'm independent. So your big names, they have a manager that can call these big places and be like, hey, we want to come play, and everything works.
Yeah.
If you're an independent musician, that means you're calling numbers and be like, hey.
Okay. Trying to get gigs, to land gigs. And
at the time, I was playing a lot of small gigs, a lot of local stuff. But I was doing like 3 to 5 shows a week. And it was amazing. It was really good training. You know, I learned how to read a crowd, and I learned how to play my guitar a little better than what I could. And it was just invaluable to learn how to perform, because I had never performed before I moved down here. I was terrified to sing in front of people. But when you do it every night, you get a little better at it.
Yeah.
And so I eventually started doing a little bigger shows. I do, you know, town celebrations and some county fairs and stuff like that. But right kind of when I was hitting my stride is when COVID hit. And I was married at the time. We figured it was a good time to have some babies.
Okay,
so
okay.
I've got a son and a daughter now, and I'm just finally gearing up and getting ready to hit the music road again.
Okay. Now, somewhere in all that mix, so you say time for a second album.
Yes. So it was right before I got married. I'd written a couple of songs that were country Christian,
mm-hmm.
but more than just country sounding, they were about Christian faith in the country lifestyle, because I would imagine people who listen to your podcast know farmers and ranchers view the world a little different.
Yeah, that's right. For sure.
And I wanted to write something for them. You know, I grew up in the Lutheran church, so we sang all the hymns that I think the newest one was written in the 1850s.
Right.
And now that I moved down here, I started going to Cowboy Church, which I've loved. And, you know, we play all kind of music there. I'll never forget the first time I walked into a cowboy church, they were playing a song called George Jones and Jesus.
Okay.
And I was like, I have found my people.
You're home.
So I wanted to write an album for folks like that. So I ended up doing a 6-song EP. And actually the line in Grandpa that said the life we lived was ever blessed.
Yes.
I used that to pull the name of this album. So I called it Ever Blessed.
Ever Blessed.
Yes, sir.
And again, on Spotify, Apple Podcast, any place you can find music, you are there.
I should be. And if I'm not, let me know and I'll get there.
So play us, hold the faith for a farmer.
Okay.
A faithful farmer, I should say. So what else? Yeah, yeah.
So my very favorite song off of that EP, and it's called an EP because it's 6 songs. It's a little baby album.
So what's EP? Extended play.
Yes.
And LP is limited play.
Nobody really uses those terms anymore.
Oh,
those are from back when we were on vinyl.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you can use them. You got the hair to qualify, yeah. Sir.
Oh, well done. Oh, you mean the way it's cut?
Yeah, naturally.
Naturally.
What did you think I meant?
I don't know.
Oh, me. Yeah, so my favorite song on that EP is another one you heard this morning.
Yeah.
It's called Ain't a Job. And
I love it.
I was working with the team roper at the time, just kind of picking up a little extra work. And I was saddling horses in his barn one day, and he corners me and he said, "I heard you write songs."
Uh-oh.
And I have no clue how he found out, because this was before I told people. But I said, yes, sir. He said, "Well, I want you to write a song about my life, but don't make it cheesy, because cowboy songs are cheesy."
Okay.
Challenge was thrown.
Yeah.
So it took me 2 weeks, but I finally found the approach I wanted to take. The song's called Ain't a Job.
Ain't a Job.
Father and a son, a misty country morning, a long stretch of fence to put in. They do the work together, sunny or stormy weather, just the way his daddy did. Son said, "Dad, don't you get tired of setting posts and stretching wire? There's a better job that's waiting for you right in town. But it ain't a job, son. And this ain't just fence we're building. It's a lifestyle and life lessons and a backbone straight and strong. And it's a blessing watching over God's creation in the heartland of a nation. Still teaches right from wrong. It's long hours and longer days of working hard. But it ain't a job, son. No, it ain't a job. A father and a son, a dusty, worn-out brown pen, red roan in sight, eyes open wide. Father told him, son, this horse can teach a lesson. You can't build a good foundation if fear runs your life. Son said, Dad, don't you get tired of riding colts for hire? There's easier and gentler ways that we could get by. But it ain't a job, son. And these ain't just colts for riding. It's a way of life that's dying. We're just hanging on to better days. But folks still help their neighbors, and good deeds are still called favors, not debts to call upon. It's long hours and longer days of working hard. But it ain't a job, son. It ain't a job. A father and a son, one that's holy, one that's human. A morning conversation starts a day. I said, Father, I'm so sorry for the way that I keep living. 'Cause even though you've shown me, I still can't find your way. He said, Lord, don't you get tired of pulling me back from the fire. There's better people waiting that haven't let you down. But it ain't a job, son. And you aren't some nameless Christian. You're one of my own children, and I'll keep you safe from harm. So if you need, call out my name, and I will do the same. I'll lift you higher than the storm. Oh, I showed you with my blood upon that cross that it ain't a job, son. No, it ain't a job. Oh, I showed you with my blood upon that cross. It ain't a job, son. No, it ain't a job.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, you made a comment, you made a statement before you started saying when he asked you to write a song, can't be cheesy, and it took you a while to figure out the approach.
Yeah.
What is your songwriting approach?
Oh, it's just about different for every song. Some songs, I feel like I don't write them. I just write them down.
Okay.
Grandpa was one of those that man, that song hit me over the head. I couldn't write it down fast enough. And other songs I got to work for.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll just get a line or two and I have to just sit until I figure out what they mean.
Okay. Okay.
I had a song that'll be on my upcoming album whenever I'm able to get that recorded, which is going to be 12 or 13 songs.
Oh, wow. Another
big project. And it's going to be all slightly Western flavored.
Oh, really?
There's going to be some ballads in there, like Marty Robbins, gunslinger type ballads. But there's also more modern approaches that are still talking about the Western world. And I had one song that I had the line to the chorus pop into my head, and it was, "Lucy, load the wagon, we're bound for bigger country." And I knew that this was like a mother-daughter song.
Where did it come from?
That's a good question.
Seriously. I mean, do you remember what you were doing when it popped?
I was doing some leather work.
Okay.
Because I do custom leather work. Okay. And this was during COVID, so I had nothing I could do. But that line just kept running through my head. Just, "Lucy, load the wagon. Lucy, load the wagon." And I don't know anyone named Lucy. And so it kept going through my head. And I sat on that song for, I think, about 2 years. And I always felt like, well, I'm not qualified to write it because I don't have a daughter. At the time, I didn't have any kids. I was like, I know it's a mother-daughter song. Finally, I realized I'm kind of dumb. I have a mother. I am a daughter. And so I took some of the lessons that my mom instilled in me. Because growing up, we actually had a large part of our herd stolen when I was little.
Really?
And so we struggled from that for a long time.
Cattle rustlers.
Absolutely. You wouldn't think there's a ton of them, but they're still out there. And we never did get the cattle back, but I wasn't aware. We were kind of poor growing up.
What a blow. I mean, that's serious business.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was. I was 5 or 6 at the time, maybe. And so I have a child's perspective of it. But growing up, I knew we didn't have a ton of extra money. But, man, if there was something we wanted to do, my mama would find a way. And she always just, she would, whatever she had to do to give something to her kids, she was going to do it. So I took that perspective, and this is the song that came out of it, but it's called Bigger Country. Some men will spend a lifetime leaving places just like this. Some women spend a lifetime asking why. But you and I have got a knack for wandering ourselves. Let's go looking for the things they're trying to find. So Lucy, love the wagon. We're bound for bigger country. Let's go chase the setting sun as it races across the sky. We're bound for bigger country. You and I. There's certain things a body learns that it can do without, and certain things you just can't bear to lose. I don't need a home or fancy clothes to keep me warm. All I need is to know that I'm with you. So country, you and I. There's no telling the roads we'll travel, the miles we'll go before we're through. A child needs room for dreaming. That's one thing that I can give to you. So Lucy, country. We're bound for bigger country, you and I.
Wow.
Thank you.
Now, did we just hear an exclusive preview?
I think you did.
You got that out anywhere?
Oh, no. I have a couple of them up on Facebook somewhere if you look.
Okay, but that one?
I don't know if that one's on Facebook
so
yet.
So it's on Beyond the Chute.
Yeah, we'll call it an exclusive.
Okay.
Yep. So I do have a daughter now. I've got a son who's almost three, and my daughter just turned one. And I didn't even think about it at the time, but I named her Margot Lucille. And we call her Lucy.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something how comes around?
So now I got to live up to that song.
And, oh, gosh.
And I got to get that girl in some bigger country.
You think? So is that kind of the future you're thinking?
Oh, no. My ex-husband's family's all right around here. So we're going to keep the kids in Tennessee. But I'm going to sneak them up to North Dakota for some visits.
They got
to
get up there. Big sky country. I know that's Montana,
absolutely.
But there's plenty of sky in North Dakota.
Oh, there's a lot of sky because the ground's flat out. So you got sky right when you look straight.
You bet. What a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you.
When are you thinking of getting back in the studio?
Well, I was hoping to this summer, but I wasn't aware that pregnancy could come with asthma.
Oh.
And so my little Lucy gave me asthma.
Oh, no.
And I'm just finally getting my lungs back.
Oh, you are.
So I'm hoping within the next year to put this next album out. I had all the funds saved up, and then, like it always does, transmission went out. So the album is in my engine right now.
Okay.
But as soon as I can get the money saved back up, I'm really, really excited for this project. It's going to be called Looking for the Line.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've got 12, or I'm considering one more, so maybe 13 songs written for it.
Okay.
And I'm so excited.
You already writing for the fourth album?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff's popping all the time.
You never stop.
Okay.
I'm not sure where the fourth album's going to go yet,
because
all three of these albums have been so different.
Yeah.
And this third album, I feel, is the most honest reflection of who I am that I've ever written.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what comes after that.
Yeah.
But I've got a few songs that I'm definitely going to include on whatever the next album is.
Okay. And for all of our rodeo producers out there, man, give Nikki a call.
Oh, I'd love it.
I mean, it's pretty easy. She's got a guitar that's acoustic. Yep. She actually plugged into our system here with a simple box that she brought, XLR. So if she had two XLR cables to our rodeo announcers and so forth that are sound managers at these rodeos, nothing to plug her in. You can do it out there on a flatbed trailer, can't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got my own sound system.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm all set. You just throw me a corner and I'll fill it.
So how do they get a hold of you?
So the easiest way is over Facebook. It's Nikki McLeod Music. Now, it's spelled a little different. It's N-I-K-K-I.
Okay.
M-C-L-E-O-D.
L-E-O-D.
L-E-O-D.
And Nikki, N-I-K-K-I.
Yes, sir.
All right.
But, yeah, if you go to Nikki McLeod Music on Facebook or NikkiMcLeodMusic@gmail.com, you can reach me on any of that.
All right.
If you can't spell Nikki McLeod right, my leatherworking page is Split Rail Customs, and that's a lot easier to spell.
And what kind of products you got up on Split Rail?
So I specialize in chaps.
Chaps for?
Mostly I do working cowboy, but I do Rodeo Queen too. Actually, I got to build Miss Rodeo Hawaii's, so
nice.
I've had a set at the NFR, which is pretty special.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I that's what I specialize in, but I also do bead work, so I do a lot of belts, guitar straps. Kind of whatever gear you need, do a lot of head stalls, and kind of my goal is to make gear that looks real good while it's doing its job.
I love it. Functional. Form and function.
That's
what
the
we're
goal.
Aiming for. So take us home.
All right. Well, you were asking for Faith Like a Farmer.
I was.
I played this one at Cowboy Church this morning. You want me to give the whole spiel behind
it? Do it. Of course.
All right. So I've lived all over the West and Midwest, and now finally the South. And I found that everywhere that I moved, there was one thing that wouldn't change. Now, everything else changed. The way, what people eat, what they drink, sweet tea. I've learned to like it. Especially, I've learned that people call their cattle different.
How so?
Because I've never heard someone walk out into a pasture and go, woo, woo, until I move down here. But it works. They come to it.
How'd you do it up home?
You want the full volume.
I do. Back up a little bit.
Let me back up. This is how we called them back home. Come back! And man, they'll come.
They'll come. Better have feed or hay or something for them.
Absolutely. Don't let them down. But I found the one thing that does not change, no matter where you go, is a small town gas station. Because if you show up real early in the morning, it's nothing but old farmers and ranchers. They're sitting in there, they're drinking all the free coffee they can hold, and they're solving the world's problems. So I wrote this one about the best advice that you never actually have to ask for. Faith like a farmer. In a sleepy little podunk town, you'll find that if you ask around, there's always advice to be found at the cafe, nice and early, where faded men in faded clothes with faded memories of days of old, men of steel with hearts of gold, and all the greatest stories. I was feeling lost myself, thought I could use a little help, so I asked a man for the key to life. He laughed as he pushed back his dusty co-op cap. He said, only got one piece of advice. You gotta have faith like a farmer. Trust that the storm is gonna blow away. Treat your faith like a farmer, child. Get it sowed and let it grow. Good things don't come from bad seeds. Make sure your words match your deeds. Don't be afraid to hit your knees and ask God for forgiveness. If you're feeling down, then look back up, cause God will always give enough to get you through when things are rough. Just fall back on his promise. You gotta have faith like a farmer. Trust that the storm is gonna blow away. Treat your faith like a farmer, child. Get it sowed and let it grow. Just get it sowed and let it grow.
Wow, 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 wow. That takes me home. I grew up on a small farm in Iowa.
There you go.
Takes me home, so I can relate to absolutely everything in that song. And the gathering, I would stay at my grandpa's house on Friday nights, and every Saturday morning he'd take me uptown, small cafe, small cafe, and he'd sit there about an hour, and there'd be 5-6 of them, and absolutely anything and everything got chewed on.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely everything got rolled around. Nikki, what a pleasure. I'm so excited for you and where you're going and what you're doing.
Oh, thank you for including me.
Oh, my goodness. And again, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, McLeod, M-C...
L-E-O-D.
L-E-O-D. And if you can't remember that, find her on Split Rail...
Customs. Yes, sir.
And DM her or whatever on there, message her. And,
absolutely.
And she will respond. Now, it's okay if they ask a music question on Split Rail
oh,
Customs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all fair game.
Okay. All right. Well, excellent. Any final words before we go? Any advice to any aspiring songwriters out there?
I mean, there's so many different approaches to writing, but for me, I love telling the story. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. If you look around, there's a story to be told. So just keep looking for those stories.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to this great episode. I hope that you enjoyed Miss Nikki McLeod. Three albums out, two albums out there,
yeah.
Third on its way. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends. Word of mouth is the best marketing we have. You can find us on all the major streaming platforms, whether it's Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we are out there. Find us on Facebook. We got a Facebook page called Beyond the Chutes. We got all kinds of reels up there for you to watch. And we're going to put together some reels here of Nikki so you'll be able to get a sense of who she is and how she's moving out in the world. And we'd like to say thank you to Parasite Systems for our sponsors. Everything they do, you know, they take care of your animals and build the medical devices that allow you to test for parasites in your large animals, your cattle, your sheep, your horses, your pigs, your chickens, and now for your dogs and your cats. So that's Parasite, as in H-I-G-H-T. Systems.com, and we got a coupon code BTC023 for 50% off your mail-in kits. Go online, get it. They say, let's test before we treat. Let's know what we're treating, and let's do it right so we don't build any more resistance and we get our horses, our cattle, our dogs, and our cats in the perfect kind of condition that they deserve to be in. So thank you for joining us here in this beautiful, what we call the Cove. And we'd like to thank Miss
Nikki McLeod.
Nikki McLeod.
Thank you, Doug.
Absolutely. And this is Doug Simcox. Till next time, thank you for listening.
Come on.